Thursday release, the Kansas City Chiefs and AFC West champions Denver Broncos will start week one on Monday Night Football. The Bills will host the Lions in the first game at their new Highmark Stadium on Thursday Night Football. The NFL had previously announced the Giants will host the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, and Dallas will host the Eagles on Thanksgiving. Memphis Grizzlies forward Brandon Clark has passed away at the age of 29. His death was revealed by his agency late Tuesday, and the cause of death was not announced. The Grizzlies say they are heartbroken by the tragic loss of Clark, who played 7 years for the franchise after being traded from Oklahoma City. NFLPA Executive Director J.C. Treader said 92% of NFL players want the league to change their stadium to grass fields after watching the installation during the FIFA World Cup. The Dodgers are acquiring outfielder Alek Thomas in a trade with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, the new farm bill passed in the House includes key provisions supporting veterinary medicine, animal health, and public safety, and is drawing praise from the American Veterinary Medical Association. The legislation reauthorizes critical programs aimed at preventing animal disease outbreaks, strengthening food safety, and improving veterinary workforce shortages. Supporters say the bill benefits U.S. farmers and ranchers by improving disease prevention, ensuring a safer food supply, and expanding veterinary services. Well, the EPA has released a draft fungicide strategy and is seeking public input as part of a 60-day comment period aiming to balance environmental protection with the needs of U.S. agriculture. The proposal outlines a science-based framework to protect more than 1,000 endangered and threatened species while maintaining access to essential crop protection tools. The strategy focuses on identifying risks, applying mitigation measures, and determining where protections are needed. Well, farm banks remained a cornerstone of the rural economy in 2025, providing critical financing to farmers, ranchers, and small agricultural operations. According to the American Bankers Association, banks held nearly $212 billion in farm loans, accounting for more than a third of all agricultural credit. Of that, 1,372 farm banks, many rooted in rural communities, provided $122 billion in lending, with a strong focus on smaller farms.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association is proud to sponsor the Growing Pulse Crops podcast, your go-to resource for practical pulse production insights. Each episode features farmers, researchers, or industry experts sharing real-world tips to help you boost yields, manage pests and disease, and get the most from your pulse crops. Whether you grow peas, lentils, or chickpeas, you'll find information you can put to work on your farm right away. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit growingpulsecrops.com.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No, no way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are lower in afternoon trading, with some of the hottest chip stocks over the past month tumbling as the tech trade pulls back from record levels following CPI data that showed that April inflation soared to 3.8% on an annual basis, driven by a surge in gas prices. The hot CPI reading supports higher for longer interest rates. The tech-heavy NASDAQ is losing steam as the AI-fueled trade is cooling, with the Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks stocks mostly lower, led by Tesla and Amazon. And as expected, eBay's board has rejected GameStop's $56 billion takeover proposal. Among its reasons, it questions financing for the deal. Shares of Wendy's are surging 16% following a Financial Times report that Nelson Peltz's activist firm Trian Fund Management is looking for investor backing for a bid to take Wendy's private. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Larry Stewart lost his wallet and money in the Chicago airport. He and his invalid son were stranded until a miracle happened. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
I wonder if you're as fed up as I am with all the prophets of doom who have us living in a sick society wrapped up in selfish materialism. They sound like a line from the poem The Shooting of Dan McGrew. You know the line, half-dead things in a half-dead world clean mad for the muck called gold. Well, as the song says, it ain't necessarily so. There are any number of stories tucked away in the middle pages of our daily papers, and even more that don't get printed at all, about an America that's all around us every day. A different America than the one described by the doom criers. A journalism student learns that news stories are based on who, what, or where. For example, a who story is one that's news because the person involved is famous or notorious. A where story doesn't have to involve a famous person to be news. It's the location that makes it newsworthy. A young man drives his car through a gate. He wasn't a well-known figure, and hitting a gate isn't all that unusual, but it's a story if it happened to be the White House gate. The what story, of course, is about something that's happened. Some weeks ago, the AP carried a what story. Larry Stewart, a disabled construction worker, took a plane from Detroit to Chicago with his three-year-old son, Rocky. He was taking him to a hospital there. Rocky is unable to control the muscles in his legs. When they arrived at O'Hare Airport, Larry discovered his billfold with $80 was missing. He didn't even have money to get to the hospital. Stewardess Marcia Grieger was the first to learn of his plight. A hasty search of the plane failed to turn up the wallet. Before the plane continued on its way to Phoenix, Arizona, the stewardess gave Larry Stewart $27.50 the crew had contributed for cab fare to the hospital. When she gave Larry the money, he didn't want to take it, and only did so if he could have the names and addresses of the crew in order to repay them. After the plane took off for Arizona, Miss Grieger asked some of the passengers to look around their seats for the missing wallet. They learned the whole story about Larry and Rocky and the missing money. One of the passengers suggested a collection. Almost instantly, Marcia had $150 in her hand. Then a man on the other side of the plane wanted to know what was going on. When he heard the story, he started collecting. A 9-year-old boy drew a get well card. Others asked for Rocky's address so they could write to him. The passengers were clapping and cheering as Marcia said it was beautiful but crazy. On the following Saturday, stewardess Marcia Grieger was back in the Midwest. She presented Rocky's father with a set of stewardess wings, a chief pilot's wings, a letter to Rocky that said, "Someday have your daddy tell you how 11 of us, the crew, and 240 passengers fell in love with a little guy most have not even seen." In the meantime, if you ever get the feeling that the whole world is bad and no one cares, give these wings a long look. There was $426 in the letter. Rocky's father, holding back his tears, said it all. I just forgot that people are like that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 12:30. The bear is in the building. It's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We have two great guests today. Our first in-studio guest is Ryan Rundle, president of the Cal Poly College Republicans and Turning Point USA. We're going to talk about Cal Poly's early wave Gen Zers as they take the stage in the local conservative movement, issues most important to young college students and the divide between men and women, and recent and upcoming Cal Poly College Republican TPS USA events. Ryan, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you so much for having me on, Barry.
I'm happy to have you on here. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to have my old friend calling in. It is a very, very timely segment you're not going to want to miss. Stephen Moses, who is the president for the Center for Long-Term Care Reform and visiting fellow at Paragon Health. We're going to be talking about Medicaid, or in California called Medi-Cal, fraud, why it's bad for taxpayers and patients, the latest research on aging well from age wave guru Ken Dykewald, and then insights in artificial intelligence and its increasing role in long-term care services. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Ryan, you're my first Gen Z victim on PWM. Thanks for being game for this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to bridge the gap.
Well, I have a feeling if you stay in town after you graduate, you might become a regular, but we'll see how that goes, huh?
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Where are you from originally?
So I'm originally from Southern California, so Lake Arrowhead, okay. California. So 9 kids in my graduating class, you know, living near the lake, middle of the forest. So this is, you know, Cal Poly to me is very much like the Big Apple, which is, you know, 30,000 students, but, you know, miles bigger than anything I grew up with.
There you go. And what brought you up to Cal Poly?
Learn by doing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the land of opportunity, you know. Work hard. My parents went to Cal Poly Pomona, so they, you know, they believed in the program, and, you know, business program is really awesome here. So, you know, that's why I came up here.
So you're a business major?
Yes, sir. Business administration student with a minor in sales.
And what got you into politics?
So I started off with politics. You know, obviously I always like just staying in tune with stuff. And I think a lot of Gen Z students individuals kind of fell into it. I think COVID was a big reason why people started staying tuned. You know, they were all forced to stay home. And, well, why are they forced to stay home? And, well, they had their iPads and they had their, you know, their phones and their, and just like, all they could do is like tune in online and see what was happening. So I think that's where I really, really started staying in tune of actual politics. And then I'd say I had a couple opportunities where I actually ran into or met Charlie Kirk.
Oh, really?
And so actually, I would say for me, the biggest thing is that I really resonated with what he was saying. And a lot of people who never got to meet him, you know, they just hear sound clips online. But I think like actually getting to meet him and talk to him, like actually, he really, like, that really resonated with me. And so that's kind of what got me involved, was wanting to, you know, freedom of speech, standing up, being a leader, That kind of stuff.
Good. I want to talk more about that in a minute. Okay. But first, and again, that's because that's one of my questions coming up. But one of the things that I did want to talk to you about again, and I shared this with you. And the audience is painfully aware that I'm a fan of Neil Howe and the fourth turning stuff, the history of generational history.
Yeah.
And I just think it's really cool that you are an early wave Gen Z or a Zoomer, mm-hmm. we'll call you. And one of the first things that I'm reading here off of my cheat sheet is how emphasizes the Gen Zers have no memories of a confident, booming America. Their childhood has been dominated by the War on Terror, the Great Recession, slow recoveries, polarization, school shootings, and the pandemic. Okay, would that pretty much describe you?
Yeah, I would say so. I know a lot of Gen Zers that. You know, a saying that we've grown up with, it's not those kind of times anymore. You know, I know a lot of our parents and grandparents, you know, they were able to go out and go and, you know, just leave the house and be gone all day. It's not that kind of world anymore. It's not as safe anymore. And I mean, I don't know, I feel like the statistics kind of show that things have gotten better. I mean, that's just from what I've seen. But I mean, I definitely know, like, especially with the media landscape where everyone's afraid and, you know, a lot of us grew up with a more protected kind of, you know, upraising.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that kind of delineates a generational cohort in this theory is your first recollection of something. So what was your first recollection of something that really has kind of stuck with you since your early years? Because you were born around 2003, right?
Yeah.
So you don't remember the Twin Tower stuff and all the 2011 stuff. What was the first recollections?
Just like politically? Or just
events. I think it's a more event-oriented kind of thing. Or politics is fine.
Definitely COVID was honestly like the really, I'd say a really big one. Like, first, I don't personally remember this, but I know like me and my brother were both born during massive forest fires, so I remember growing up in kind of like the aftermath of, you know, like a very crispy forest. but I would say definitely COVID was like my big thing that I personally felt. The first cognitive memory I have of anything kind of different or interesting, actually, like the first time I even registered politics existed was actually Trump winning the election. I just remember being at a hotel and people like, wait, what? That actually happened? And then from there, I just, you know, kind of started collecting more and more information. And then the most recent thing that I personally experienced was obviously the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
What about like school shootings and so on and so forth? Did that make much of an impact on you?
We had a scare at our school, but it was actually a false flag, and it was just some kid that, I mean, someone really didn't like this one kid, so they tried framing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember on the school side, I grew up in a public school and ended up switching to a private school in high school. Just a lot of brokenness and tension. Even just seeing the massive difference between when I was in elementary school, things felt great when I was in elementary. And then looking back and seeing the difference between like the kids that were there with me versus like the kids who came after me is like drastic difference. I saw in real lifetime how the schooling system was kind of falling apart and people were fighting each other. Like actually like knocking them to the ground, like paralyzing each other. Wow. It was like craziness.
So what, from your perspective, now that you're, what, 22 almost, you're probably 22?
22.
All right. So what are the issues that most Gen Zers that you hang out with focused on? What are they really dealing with?
Yeah. So I know, obviously, I think everyone kind of feels the same. Just, you know, the ability to, you know, be able to buy their, kind of just, you know, live the American dream in the sense of being able to buy a house or being able to afford a gas, or, you know, I think a lot of Gen Zers want more personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't really buy into the same kind of, they don't buy into as much like the big overall structure, but they have their own independent kind of, you know, like a lot of it's either social media or just independent different structures instead of like being involved in these bigger organizations. I know it's interesting. I remember seeing a talk about, you know, people normally they mature as they go through the different stages of life. And a lot of Gen Zers are kind of stuck at that stage of like, either even just trying to get a job or trying to get a house, and it is a lot harder. So a lot of Gen Z hasn't matured past that point to where they could even like have a wife or kids or being able to they haven't gone through those later life steps, even if they are older.
You're right. Because, what about what we hear a lot about the political differences and the attitudinal differences between Gen Z men and Gen Z women? What do you find happening on college campuses? Is the divide as big as it's reported to be?
It definitely feels like that. I feel like, from what I've seen on Cal Poly campus, I like to call them closeted conservatives. There's a lot of people that I know that are conservative, that are, lean more right, that are, they're either just blue collar kind of agriculture, or they're just focusing on actually working their job and they're not getting involved in politics, or they do want to get involved, but they're concerned that if they are open about it, that they're going to be kind of harassed, which I've definitely seen a little bit about myself. It's not been like Cal Poly is actually a really good school, and like we have the platform to kind of have open conversations from all sides. But yeah, like they're definitely, to me, it is more of a social pressure that people feel, because there's like these huge cliques of like organizations and people. I think a lot of people in California, especially Central Coast, are afraid to be seen as different. And when, there's like a status quo. And so you do see a lot of people just kind of not talking about their beliefs. And I definitely do see a lot of the, on the women side, that there definitely is, I'd say, more left leaning on the women and then more right leaning on the right. But I mean, I have Democrat friends who are dudes, and I have Republican friends who are women, so it's not like a perfect split by any means.
So have you ever had a gal tell you that she wouldn't go out with you because you're a conservative and you voted for Trump?
I've never like asked someone out who has used that as the reason. I would definitely say, and obviously, maybe they still don't like me as a person, but I would say mostly, I would say I'm more focused on, like, right now, just my stage of life. Mm-hmm. I'm really focused on setting myself up and becoming the person that could provide for a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just like massively trying to hammer that in right now.
Yeah.
One of the big things Charlie Kirk talked about that I resonate with is just basically as the man, like, your role is to work as hard as you can and be and to kind of take leadership. And a lot of dudes I think aren't taking as much leadership as they should be. So I'm really trying to be someone who can actually lead in a relationship, because I know a lot of people like to talk about the submit to your husbands. But what that means is that, it's supposed to be someone who trusts in your leadership, but you have to have leadership that's worth trusting. So
right. What
I can do is be a leader that is worth following. And that it is an everyday battle.
So why are some Gen Zers, your friends, why are you, were you and they drawn to TPUSA and Charlie Kirk's message?
I think a lot of people resonate with Charlie Kirk because people are tired of being just told to believe something and to just assume what they assume that, is just true. I think there's a massive distrust amongst like the media and even the political parties nowadays with Gen Z. And so I think for a lot of people, Charlie Kirk, where they had those open talks and conversations, is something that I would say was very appealing to people. And I think a lot of, obviously a lot of Christians, not all of them are Christians, but a lot of Christians resonated on the side that they liked that he was very, it came from a faith-based thing where, going out there in the world and kind of talking truth in love is, that's very important,
My impression of certainly this, the Democrat socialist left, okay? I want your opinion. This is the question. Their focus is atomizing people, separating people into groups that don't like each other, where Charlie Kirk's message was more of an inclusive thing. Let's talk about it and have a good time.
Yeah.
Is that a good characterization of the divide in some regards?
I would say it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Because I know there's people on the left that I've talked to who are very open and awesome that like are totally willing to work with people. And then there's also people on the right who aren't. So again, I think there is more nuance. I do think that Charlie Kirk was very much like hey, let's take this idea and put it under a magnifying glass and see if it can actually hold its own weight. And it's interesting though, because I think a lot of people who are trying to copy Charlie Kirk since his assassination, they forget the heart. You know, they do the debating without the heart. But I definitely think that it is hard, because I think I've personally experienced on my side, it is really hard to get people to work together. And I've been really trying to, but you know, just as my identity as a Turning Point president or a College Republicans president, like it sometimes people just have a natural distrust of that. And you know, when I get to meet people and talk to them, like people realize, oh, he's actually like a cool guy. Like he doesn't mean anything. Like he genuinely wants to have an open conversation. But I think that's just the natural assumption from people who disagree with Turning Point is that like we're not, which is not the case. Like even within Turning Point, we have a variety of different beliefs. You know, people who are doing it because they're strong in Christian faith. There are people who are very much not Christian and they are believing in that. There's people who like Trump. There's people who really don't like Trump. You know, there's a good mix. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, real quick, this is a quick question because I wanted to get this one in because you brought it up. Are you seeing a religious revival amongst your generation?
Yeah, so I definitely think that is the case. I think we had a very long time of we need to remove religion from the world. Well, now people need something to believe in, right? And they're turning back to Christ. And mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, though. I think a lot of them are going traditionally Catholic, from what I've heard. I personally am like a non-denominational Christian. So, and from the different Christian groups I've talked with, a lot of them have said that people are generally very open to religion, but it's not necessarily just like Christianity, like this one brand of Christianity. It's more that people are looking for a bigger thing to believe in.
Well, if you get more into the Neil Howe stuff and the fourth turning stuff, you will see that in the next turning, which is an awakening, so to speak,
yeah,
the springtime in the season in our seculum, the beginning of the 80 year cycle. Yeah. There's always a religious awakening in our history,
mm-hmm.
And we've had that's happened sequentially over since before, even back into the days of England.
Yeah,
and so that's something to watch for. And I think that the Charlie Kirk TPUSA thing was really like the leading edge of that movement into the awakening. Real quick, we've got about a minute and a half left before the break here. Tell us a little bit about TPUSA, the Cal Poly Republicans, and how you became its leader.
Yeah, so it's actually a funny story. I basically became the leader because, and I think this is what actually Charlie's message was basically I was offered the opportunity and I said yes, because all the graduating class was, you know, I mean, all the leaders were graduating and I was the one who stood up to the plate. And I think that's what kind of Charlie really, really taught was like, hey, it's not, you don't have to wait till someone tells you it's okay. Like you just need to step up and say yes and just step up to being a leader, right? And so we've been really trying to, and people do assume that Turning Point is like a Christian like representation. So my thought was, I'm a Christian first and foremost. I want, if they're going to be representing Christianity, I want to be able to have it be a good represent and be Christ-like, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've worked a lot with different community members. It's been super awesome. Other events kind of like teaching about leadership, having kind of open conversations with different viewpoints. We've even had like different Christian speakers and talking, you know, and all this stuff is easy, right? Like some of the stuff is hard conversations, but, and you may not agree with them, but the important part is that we have open conversations and we're willing to listen to each other, you know, love and truth.
That's great. Well, I hear the bumper music, so we've got about a 2-minute break. And folks, I'll be right back on the other side of the break with Ryan Rundel.
Thank you so much.
Not leaving yet. Cal Poly conservative leader. And we're looking forward to some more of his insights. So stand by.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Ryan Rundle, president of the Cal Poly College Republicans and Turning Point USA. You can call in or text questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Just a real quick announcement here. I'll do this again at next hour, but RP Slow is doing a Rededicate 250 event on the 17th, this coming Sunday, at the Republican headquarters. They're looking for a small donation, and they're going to have a bevy of candidates and current office holders there to speak and network with. So this is a great opportunity for you to come and hang out and see what RP Slow has got going. You can get more information at www.rpslowloc.org. Okay, a couple more quick questions here, and then I want to move on to what you guys got coming up planning wise. Number one, have you gotten any pushback from faculty or administration? Significant. I mean, has anything significant happened, or are you getting pretty much some support from general support?
I would definitely say that, you know, obviously we haven't been pulled any favors per se, but I would say out of all the different colleges I've heard that, you know, Turning Point's been on, I would honestly say Cal Poly has been like the most fair to us. You know, they've never shut down any of our events, and you know, you got to make sure you have all your paperwork on time, because we've learned that, you know, that they won't make any exceptions for that. But you know, that's just status quo.
Okay.
They've been pretty open and fair to all, having an equal platform for all people. So.
Good. So no, but awesome. Nobody's trying to throw you off campus or get you shut down or anything like that.
No. Nothing of significance.
Okay.
No.
Are you doing anything to recruit Slo County high schoolers, or you know, folks that are at Cuesta? Are you making some some efforts in that regard?
Yeah, so we have some connections and people at Cuesta, and actually there is a chapter, I believe, that's trying to be started up at Cuesta. I'm trying to get in contact with them because I don't have a direct line of connection to them, but you know, so they're building their own chapter there, and definitely we've had some high schoolers who have kind of been interested, who have showed up at some of our events. You know, we have a couple regulars, you know, kind of just, hey, what's events are going on? Like, you know, they just come and they show up, and that's been pretty cool. So great. We don't have like a ambassador program or anything like that, you know. Obviously, we'd love to expand, but, you know, right now we don't have, we've got a couple of people from both of those, though.
Great, great. Okay, so I know you guys have been very active the last month or so with events. You just hosted a really good event last weekend, didn't you? Last week.
Yeah. Gosh, man, time flies. I believe it was last week. It might have been the week before that. Mm-hmm. It was, Yeah, I believe it was last week.
And who was it that you brought to the campus?
Yeah, it was Shane Winnings.
Okay, and who is he exactly? Yeah.
So he's kind of like a Christian influencer. And he kind of does, I forgot the name of his ministry, but he runs like this men's ministry. And so we brought him on. He kind of like a prove me wrong style thing. We were originally supposed to have another speaker on, but then unfortunately they had like a family emergency. So they had to switch it out. And so he was like, we found out like the week before that backup, Shane was coming. Yeah.
What was his message? In 20 words or less.
His messaging was definitely stand strong in faith, just kind of follow what it says in the Bible, and basically be very strong in those beliefs.
And how was did you have a good turnout?
Yeah, we had a good turnout. I'd say we had a lot of people that were asking questions and, people who were sitting there listening, and there was definitely some good engagement.
That's great. And then you got something coming up here in a week or so with Steve Hilton, correct?
Yes. So we're still figuring out the details. But we're on college Republicans specifically. We were originally aiming to have a giant like every single candidate debate with both sides involved, and unfortunately, there just wasn't enough time to get that kind of all figured out and kind of get like a platform where both sides could make it there. But Steve's campaign still really wanted to come to Cal Poly, and I do think it's very important for all candidates to kind of be able to be heard by the youth, because I think a lot of candidates are honestly skipping over the Gen Zers because they seem more disinterested. Mm-hmm. But I do, it is a big voting block. So, if there's a candidacy that wants to come and, bring their golden ticket with like Lieutenant Governor, the Controller, and the Attorney General, mm-hmm. which he's going to bring his whole team, and we wanted to see that happen. So he's going to be coming May 24th, and we're still figuring out the venue, but it's going to be somewhere around the Performing Arts Center area at the nighttime. So
here's a side question. Are you getting any of the local candidates for, county office or count, coming to you and wanting to meet with students to talk to them about the issues that they're involved in?
Yeah, so I know a lot of local candidates that kind of, they've definitely been kind of coming on campus, mm-hmm. and talking about the vote. A lot of them actually they've worked with Cal Poly directly to just come and table on themselves, because they have a more of a capacity to table all the time by themselves, right, than, us trying to juggle everyone. But we're definitely looking to hopefully expand into kind of having a program where we work directly with these candidates for the primaries and the is it the qualifying and the primaries? I always forget the second name.
Yeah. And the general election.
General election and then the primaries.
Well, no, it's the other way around. Primaries and general election.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, the primaries are June 2nd.
Okay, yeah.
We're
aiming to hopefully get something for that, and then, work with some of the candidates kind of building up to that, and then obviously for the general election as well.
And so what happens as far as your school year is coming up, so you're pretty much done. Are you heading back to, the Riverside area to find work, or are you going to stay in the area and keep working with PPUSA and look for a job around here?
Yeah, so I definitely would love to stay in San Luis Obispo. Unfortunately, and a lot of Gen Zers feel this, they kind of have to go wherever the job opportunity is. We don't have the luxury of just stay in our hometown and keep it within the family. Like, we kind of have to, I'm applying literally all over the country, so I could end up in Salt Lake, I could end up in the Bay Area, I could end up East Coast. I know for sure I'm not going to be able to end up in my hometown because there's no jobs there.
Yeah.
So,
Do you have successor management lined up for at Cal Poly next year?
Yes. So we're actually, we have like two people that we're kind of like, we're trying to figure out like the positions right now, but we do have someone.
All right. Real quick, how can people follow you, follow TPUSA at Cal Poly?
Look up Cal Poly TPUSA on Instagram, follow us, give us a message, and we'll sign you up for our email link.
Well, Ryan, I'm happy to have you on for the first time, and hopefully even if you're out of town, I'll get you on to keep track of you as the radio, all right?
I'll see you around.
All right, Ryan, thank you. When we return, we'll be visiting with Stephen Moses, president of the Center for Long-Term Care Reform and visiting fellow at Paragon Health Institute. Stand by. We will be back.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.